Hello, I'm Graham Potter, and this
I'm David Portnoy.
On today's episode of Heads in the Cloud, we're going to be joined by Sahi Levitt Levi, who is an analyst and consultant for all things WebRTC.
Yeah,
so stay tuned for some real-time communications between us and Sahi.
Heads in the Cloud. With your hosts, David Portnowitz and Graham Potter.
Welcome to today's episode, episode 10, I'm being told, 9, 10,
yeah, this
something
is 10.
In that
no,
realm.
10. I'm 10. Keeping,
the big
I'm keeping
10.
Track. The big 10.
We're Woo,
in a double,
we reached
we are
it.
In a double figures.
We're going to be joined today by Sahi Levitt Levi, who is coming to us live from Israel, our first
truly international
guest.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to it, a great conversation on WebRTC, which is something that we practice what we preach here. I mean, this is something that we have taken into heart over the last few years.
I think
here
more and more people are, and I think as we talk about later on, that this is something that you know, under the skins, you don't really realize it's out there, but there's so many different use cases for this type of technology. But it's a great subject.
And we've recently launched a new soft phone, a new contact center with this technology in it.
Web devices, yeah. So,
and Graham, why don't you talk a little bit about the contact center that you've been working on here that we've just recently deployed?
Yeah, so our Star Center 3 is a completely new application. It's not a rewrite or kind of a rebuild of the existing contact center solution that we
have.
And all
WebRTC based, right?
It's it can be. Yeah. I mean, you can still use traditional endpoints there, but we have a web agent, and I could spin you up as an agent within seconds. You know, just using a Chrome browser, and you got access to all the call control and audio tools that you would expect if you were running an application or running a phone device, physical phone. So fascinating. Real simple. It changes the dynamics of things. The thing that I always reference as well is really interesting is, you know, traditionally in a contact center, quite a cost involved in the instrument that they use for day-to-day, you know, usage in the contact center, connectivity, audio, that sort of thing, call control. The headset, typical headset that you would use in that environment. You're talking a headset that's probably $70, $80, $90, $100+. Think about that for every single agent in the contact center.
Expensive.
Then multiply that up, plus the fact those things get abused and damaged real easy. Now you're talking about a different experience. You could sit there with a pair of earbuds on, really, or you can go to somewhere, you know, online like an Amazon or somebody like that and buy a sub $30 headset that's a USB noise cancelling headset that gives you a tremendous experience and just
for half or
fraction
third
of the cost. Fraction of the cost.
But, so not only does WebRTC have practical implications for the user from a customer service standpoint, but it also reflects in your costs overall.
Yeah.
Lower deployment costs, lower one-time, lower upfront costs, lower costs for hardware, things like that. So lots of uses for it. And then from a vertical standpoint too, there's a ton of real world scenario applications that WebRTC is being used in right now, from Facebook to Google to Slack to healthcare to retail,
a lot in the healthcare
manufacturing,
world,
government. I mean, it's the standard right now, and I think a lot of people don't even know, you know, that they're using WebRTC.
No, you wouldn't now, would you?
Yeah.
You know, you just wouldn't. So,
And we'll ask Sahi to sort of take us through how he sees WebRTC. What are some of the use cases that he has sort of like found interesting?
And where's it supported? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's not supported with everything, but pretty.
Well, the modern browsers I think IE, but you know, I think Microsoft has sort of moved on from IE. I can't remember the name of their
Edge.
Edge is the later
browser.
But I know Google. I mean, in all their phones are using it. I mean, It's pretty cool technology. So, you know, I know it's something that we've talked about here from Star to Star for the last couple of years, and it's something that we've really put into place, and we're excited about where we can go with it moving forward too.
Yeah, it's a term that I think you're going to hear more and more out there, but an underlying sort of technology, like you said, that you wouldn't really even know that's being employed and is a kind of mechanism to make a call. video or audio, yeah, or I whatever. Mean, so
video,
yeah,
obviously, yeah, being, I think, sort of like where it started. You know, sort of most mm-hmm. people think about WebRTC, they think about video and video yeah. conferencing and webinars, because that's sort of like was a lot of the impetus for it. So no, it's all very cool technology. So what's been happening in your world, Graham? Anything interesting? Anything new?
A lot going on from a product point of view. A lot going on in the contact center world. A lot going on in the interestingly enough, in the endpoint world as well. A lot of new devices that we're looking at. Still, you know, ironic that we're talking about a device that doesn't require that physical endpoint, but yeah, they're still out there. They're still out there, and a lot going on. Obviously, a huge cost associated with doing that compared to what we're talking about.
Sure.
Implementation or something, you already have a sunk cost in a PC or a Mac, and you're using that technology.
Yeah.
How about you?
Have
you been doing any more traveling? Have you traveled?
I was in Philadelphia last week for a couple of days at an event. Got to go up to Tampa for an event that I was nominated for, actually, for an award.
Oh, why don't you tell us about that?
Tampa Bay Business Journal.
Oh, how'd you
I was
you swing,
up and coming.
How did you swing that?
Well, I just, you know, was nominated by a colleague, I believe.
Oh.
Or myself, one of the two. I can't divulge that information.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that thing I keep seeing written about that you've been nominated as a finalist?
Yeah,
for...
but the press release came out after the event already took place.
I'm getting hits on that.
Well,
that's kind of cool. I get mentioned in that.
Yeah.
Well, I got to thank you for that. That's a really nice thing to do.
In it?
My name's in there.
Why's your name in there?
I don't know. It mentions as a co-host of...
The co-host, yes.
Co-host
yes.
of Heads in the Cloud.
One of the top podcasts recognized
is,
in
this
all
is
of
big. This is big
Sarasota.
Stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I got a little thing sent to me the other day by Market Wire or somebody like that saying, your name's been mentioned.
Incredible.
It's amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah. Fame and fortune at my age. Incredible.
You're just realizing it now.
I know. Yeah. I'm a late bloomer. A late bloomer, yeah.
No, but we've got partner training going on here in Sarasota this week. So we've got
busy,
lots of new
busy
partners.
Crowd. I just popped in and said hello to the guys and a packed crowd again. You know,
yes,
just another
full house.
Room, yeah.
And we're off and running. We got lots of stuff happening from a marketing standpoint, and all good stuff. So no real travel plans for the next couple of months, but we do have a few events we'll be at. Look out for us. Look out for the Star to Star team. Over the next few weeks, we'll be at some events, Dreamforce and ScanSource event we're going to be at. So we could never stop moving in marketing. It's
sure.
it's pretty constant. So, let's I think we should go into our conversation with Sahi now.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, looking forward to talking to him. So we will catch you on the other side.
On the other side.
Today, we're joined by Sahi Levitt-Levi, who is an analyst and consultant for all things WebRTC and the co-founder of TestRTC.com. You can find Sahi's work at bloggeek.me, also at TestRTC.com, and you can find him on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. He's at Sahi, that is at T-S-A-H-I-L. So Sahi, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And you're coming to us
from
Israel, right?
Yep.
I think you are our first international guest. Is that right, Graham? Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. So welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate it. So let's get right down into some good subject matter. I'm sure many of the people that will be listening to this podcast have heard the term WebRTC or Web Real-Time Communications. Sahi, why don't you, for our listeners on air, well, two things. First of all, perhaps give a bit of background on yourself and what you represent. And also, if you can explain a little bit to our listeners to this show, what WebRTC is really about.
Okay, thank you. I'm Sahi Levitt-Levi. I'm writing at BloggeekMe. Everything I think about that relates to WebRTC, communication, messaging, CPaaS, these domains mainly. My background is a developer. I'm a developer at heart, but I haven't developed for, I guess, almost 10 years or so, or even more. I've done anywhere from development to product management, project management, marketing, and CTO in various companies, all of them in the telecom space. And in the past several years, I've been working on, you know, my own consulting work around WebRTC and communication. and also in the last 2 years, one of the co-founders and CEO of TestRTC, where we do testing and monitoring of WebRTC. And WebRTC allows you to do voice and video calling, not only, but that would be the main thing, voice and video calling, inside a browser without installing anything.
So no plugins required, no extra add-ons.
No downloads.
Yes, and that's, I just thought about it, you know. Every time you explain something about WebRTC, the word that comes out the most is no. No this, no that.
That is awesome. It's like,
so, and it's an important distinction because it says two things. The first one is that WebRTC is simpler than other things. It reduces a lot of the friction that was there, both for the developers and the end users. Okay, because we don't need to download anything. We don't need to install anything. We just go to a link and it works magically, whatever. Okay. The second distinction is that there is nothing really new inside WebRTC. Okay. I'll say it again. There is nothing new in WebRTC. There are a few bits and pieces, but everything there has been done before. Okay. So what we get is a kind of a media engine, the same piece of technology that you would find in any other voice over IP product. If it uses SIP or H.223 or XMPP or whatever, if it does communication over the network, what you'll see inside, if you look at the innards, would be very similar to what you'll see inside WebRTC. So there is no reinvention of the wheel at all. Okay? And the main difference is the fact that now it's just inside a browser, and though it's open source, you can use it wherever you want with no restrictions and limitations, no commercial agreements needed there.
Wow.
So where are you seeing the best implementations of WebRTC right now? Who's really on the sort of the forward path on that, and who's really pushing the development in that space right now?
Everywhere. You see it everywhere. I mean, this is recorded before Cranky Geek, but an event that we're hosting, me and a couple of colleagues, along with Google and a few other large sponsors. There we have as speakers people from Google, WebKit, Facebook, Slack, Atlassian, TalkBox, Twilio, Video, and a few other companies that I just don't remember now. So everybody today that deals with communication either uses WebRTC or is about to use or is going to lose the market.
Yeah, and we've experienced that too. We're actually in the process of launching a new
couple of things. We have a soft phone Verto communicator for FreeSwitch, and also for our contact center solution, we have a web client on that as well. So, you know, being able to implement agents very, very rapidly using just a browser and having them, you know, connect into a contact center and work as a full agent. Using that type of technology is such a move away from what you've had to do traditionally in the past, where you may have had a bespoke application, or you may have even used a physical endpoint, a VoIP phone on the desktop. This is so much easier, and you know the agent is using a high quality USB noise cancelling headset that's sub $30 they can buy from Amazon. And the experience is awesome. You know, no downloads, nothing at all, and that's all. Testament to this technology. So bit of a shout out to what you mentioned earlier on about Cranky Geek for anybody that didn't kind of pick that up. This is a WebRTC show that Asahi's part of as an organizer for that show, and you can visit that at www.cranky geek.com. And as he said, this is a show with a very broad agenda. A lot of speakers from
big companies,
from the world, big yeah. companies. And if you get a chance, this is in October the 27th, Friday, October the 27th in San Francisco. So why don't you just give us a little bit more about that? Would be useful for the audience.
Yes, well, we started this one some 4 years ago. Almost by mistake, I suggested it to, yes, really. We've been to a conference, and then Serge LaChapelle, who was the product manager at the time for WebRTC at Google, came to me and said, you know, you're going to be invited in a few months to come to Google I.O. at that time, going to Google I/O as a developer was a huge thing.
Right.
And in order to get there, you had to first subscribe online. Okay, and that means that you already submitted the fact that you are willing to pay $900 to be there.
Wow.
Then they would make a raffle and randomly select people from those that have decided to be there. So what he actually said was, you know, there are people at Google that voted for you to be there, so you're going to receive an invite to register and pay for that event. So I told him, you know, it's a kind of a problem. I live in Israel, that's San Francisco. It's going to be very far for me. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, there's also the cost itself of the show, of, you know, Google
right.
I/O.
Yeah.
Can't do that. He said, you know, we can handle it. We have means to let you be there still. And I told him, just, you know, out of my head, I said, what if we make a half-day event, either before or after Google I/O, all about WebRTC, and it will be for developers. So I curate the content. I looked around. I saw Chris Prankey or Chris Pranker, known as Chris Prankey. I said, like, you know, me and Chris Prankey will do that event for you, either before or after. And, you know, you'll sponsor it, pay for that. And then I can come and pay my own expenses for that. And Serge said that would work. And that's how we did the first event. And since then, we've done 6 events. And this one is our 7th event. And the 4th one in San Francisco at the Google office.
That's
so
awesome.
The event is, it's an event for developers. What we do is we curate the content. We actually go and hunt down the speakers that we want per event. We bring the best ones that we want or that we can find in the market. We also bring a few additional sponsors to make that viable. All of the sponsors and speakers are actually giving sessions. Each session is 20 minutes long. It's been recorded, live streamed to YouTube, and then placed in YouTube as well. So the recordings from past events are always available.
That's really awesome. Cool. Yeah.
So I'm assuming that you mentioned Chris, or you called him
Chris
Cranky. Nickname Cranky. That's the reason for the name, is it? Cranky Geek. That's why that was all established.
Yes, Blog Geek and Chris Cranky. since then we've also had added Chad Hart. So we are now working on this as a team of 3, and we decided not to add his name to the show itself.
Okay.
You could have had a good name there, something like Cranky Geek Heart or Heart of a Cranky Geek.
Yes. So what we do once we have the speakers, and that's the important part, we actually go and check the content. We vet and make sure that it fits. We do dry runs. So we take the event from beginning to end to make sure that the end result is going to be very satisfying to anyone who is a developer that is interested in WebRTC.
So Sai, for some of the folks listening to this podcast that may or may not have heard the term WebRTC, what are the sorts of things that they could see that may be using that kind of technology, but maybe somebody visiting a website or and also maybe you could talk a little bit about those companies that do actually support it, or in particular the browsers that are supporting and platforms. Okay. WebRTC would be useful.
Okay, so let's start with the browsers. The browsers that support today WebRTC are almost all of them. There is Chrome, Firefox, Safari that just joined Safari 11, and there's Microsoft Edge. Internet Explorer doesn't support it and probably won't. It's also supported in browsers in iOS and Android, not all of them, some of them. So, you know, there is always these problems with new technologies that it takes time for them to mature. But I guess that today, almost everywhere you can find WebRTC, and where you can't, there are technical solutions to still work with it. For example, just building your own app and porting WebRTC to that specific platform. You can build everything with it. So I'll tell you a little secret. I'm actually connected with my laptop to this call. You gave me a phone number, a PSTN number in the U.S. I hate using phones because I don't have good headsets for them. So I've just used my headset, connected through Google Hangouts inside Gmail, and gave it the US phone number, and I'm dialing using WebRTC from Google Hangouts inside a Chrome browser on an Ubuntu machine.
Yeah,
that's Linux.
And the audio experience, okay. Audio experience is awesome.
Trust me, we do a lot of these podcasts. We just did one a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah,
and it was on a regular cell phone, and it was terrible. So this is much better, actually.
Oh, the call quality is awesome. Yeah, I mean that's great.
So, but, go ahead.
Other things that you can do with it: webinars, webinar platforms, anything that is social. So live streaming, even if it's broadcast. You'll have there, Facebook Live uses it in some areas. Facebook Messenger for voice and video calling uses that. Google Hangouts, Google Duo, all the webinar platforms, GoToMeeting, Crowdcast, WebEx, all of them use ORTC in one way or another. Not in all of the ways that you use it, but it is available there. Adobe Connect moves from Flash to WebRTC. Contact centers use WebRTC either on the user side, the one that is calling into the contact center, or on the agent side. You see that a lot. I mean, you don't see it. You just agents use WebRTC, and you just know as a customer that that's what's going on there.
Yeah.
And Graham knows, like we were saying, Graham knows all about that. He's
just got that experience now.
Yeah,
so.
Doing a new product for us on web. So on the WebRTC front, what is exciting to you about what's coming out like right now? Like, what are the things we haven't even heard about that maybe someone like Google is doing on the WebRTC front?
So the funny thing is that the big things don't excite me. there are two reasons. First of all, I've been in a video conferencing company some 15 years ago, and I've worked there for 13 years. So 13 years more of my life, I looked at video conferences. That one, since 1998 until 2012, something like that. So seeing yet another video conferencing platform doesn't do it for me. They work the same. They look the same. They act the same. They have differences, but that's like the obvious thing that you can do with WebRTC. The interesting stuff begins once you look at use cases themselves. Okay. The interesting ones. I had 2 years ago, I met a woman from San Francisco who loves dancing. She was a dancer and she caught cancer. And she had, you know, there is issues when you have cancer and you go through chemotherapy.
Sure.
That you don't want to go out, and there's problems with hair loss, and with women it is even more sensitive. So she said, why don't I create a kind of a service where women can just go to dance lessons online, where the focus is, you know, cancer treatment. It's part of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool use case, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there is that. In the Netherlands, I had a discussion with the clinical clowns. I don't know if that's how you call them. The clowns that go into hospitals.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that one, there was a priest from the U.S. that approached me about doing the rosaries over the internet.
Well, I guess, you think about all the different applications,
I would think that's probably pretty popular in, like, the health space where doctors could diagnose someone over the web and things like that.
Yeah.
Yes, that happens a lot. You see different types of use cases. There's patients going to doctors but doing that online.
Yeah.
You see that in work hours or off hours. In Israel, the largest HMO in Israel is using WebRTC to do the patient-doctor visitations between 7 to 9 p.m., so only during the evening. And this is for usually children and you know, general type of healthcare, not specialists. And then you've got skin cancer. There's skin specialists in Israel as well. They do it online. Psychiatrists or psychologists during group therapies. I've seen that type of.
I've seen a few of those. I've seen actually on the psychology side, the therapist side. I've seen a lot of apps pop up recently. I listened to a few podcasts, and all these new apps come pop up that are sort of like one-on-one therapy through an app. I'm sure they're probably using some form of that as well.
Some of them, yes. But then there's the group thing, like going to, you know, AA, an AA group.
Yes, yeah.
And then I was approached by someone that said, well, we want to do calls, and these are going to be group video calls, but we want to do them between psychiatrists and psychologists. Like, they're their group meeting every week or two to discuss patients and things that they are doing. So like a support group for psychiatrists. Okay, so this isn't really healthcare, but it's still there.
Right,
yeah,
they still
absolutely.
Need to deal with HIPAA compliance, things like that. So what happens is that veterinarians going to the vet with your, you know, dog, but doing that online. There's a company in the UK that does that. So you see all of these things that happen, and they happen wherever there is a need to do some kind of communication. And WebRTC, because it lowered the barrier of entry, it also lowered the price point that you need, and the types of business models that you can use are now a lot larger.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't need to pay, like, say, $1 million or $2 million upfront to build something, and you don't need to pay $1,000 or more to get a device or an endpoint to use. So now developers can start experimenting and playing and build something and check that it works and check the market and then decide if you know, moving forward with it or just scrapping it and starting something new. All the time you do these things, you see these things around.
So this is, I mean, such an exciting subject. I mean, I've been in the communications industry, for kind of some 46 years, and this is such a revolutionary kind of step that for our listeners, for our podcast listeners, to put this in perspective, how long has this sort of technology been in existence for? When did you first get started, and I guess why? How did you get involved in WebRTC in the first place?
So I think it was 2010, which is way before WebRTC or a bit before WebRTC.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at RadVision at the time, a company that did video conferencing stuff. I was in the TBU technology business unit, where what we did was build protocol stack and different types of products that went to developers that build something for communication. Okay. And then I was approached to become the CTO of the company, the business unit, where the first prerogative that I have was to bring something that was related to the cloud. I did that for a year or two. We had a video client that with a cloud service around that. It went well. And then I came and said, you know, WebRTC was just announced. Google acquired the company half a year ago. Now they announced that they are going to open source it, and this is going to be WebRTC. I need a few people to go and work on that technology, to play with it, and then give me half a year, and I'll decide what we need to do with the company with that. The answer I got is there is no budget, and now come and tell us what you're going to do next year. That was in 2011. So I said, that's great. Next year, I'm not going to be there. Because if I can't do things that are futuristic or forward-looking, there is no need for a role of a CTO that fits my needs, and then I just left. That was the first time I came across WebRTC and decided that this is the future when it comes to communication.
Yeah.
From there, I left and moved to work at Amdocs as a product manager in the portfolio group, unrelated to WebRTC, but still dealing a lot with the telecom space. I worked there on things like monitoring and big data and video initiatives and soft teams and a lot of other things. But it was itching all the time. One of the things that I done when I moved was open my own blog. I was in charge of the blog at RadVision. When I left, they just died and all my readers went away. So I decided no more. I need to have a blog of my own, you know, my own small domain. I called it Blog Geek Me. Didn't know what to do with it. And then after a few posts, I wrote three posts about WebRTC. I felt I needed to write them. So I waited about half a year until things cooled down since I left, and then wrote the three things that I thought was interesting. These were the most read posts at the time on my blog. And I had more to write about that because people start asking questions in the comments. So I just, Blog Geek Me became a blog that dealt most of the time with WebRTC. And that's how, you know, I was forced into this kind of technology.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
And then 2 years in, I was approached by several different companies that actually wanted to pay me for services. So I moved to work part-time at Amdocs and then left the company about a year and a half later to to do only consulting and then also OpenTest RTC.
Sounds like you've had quite the ride.
That's a great story.
Yeah. And I also see that you're in, that you have a love of cooking. Is that true?
Yes.
What do you like to cook? What's your best meal?
Well, I like cheesecake. So I've got 10 or 30 different receipts of cheesecake.
Wow.
So that's a problem. I'm
really... Yeah, I guess that would be a problem, yeah.
Cheesecakes, huh? Yeah. So what what's your favorite cheesecake to make? What about a chocolate cheesecake? I think I'd be interested in that.
Yeah. Exactly. The chocolate cheesecake, that would be the one. And no matter different, I've got different receipts for different chocolate cheesecakes as well. other than that, whatever. I'm fine with cooking. I find that there are two times or two activities that I can do that my brain stops thinking too much or thinking in too many domains in parallel. Okay? These two things are writing code, and I'm not doing that for many years now. And the second thing is just cooking. So I try to cook every 2 or 3 days. Because I'm not working from home, I also cook my own food most of the week. So I cook for 2 or 3 days and cook more, then start mixing the things that I, you know. So it's fun. And I like cooking with lots of vegetables and also colorful. It's important for me that the food that I eat will have colors in it.
Good for you. Maybe you should write a cookbook as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe you should have like a cooking geek. Cranky geek
cookbook. Yeah.
The fact that I love cooking doesn't mean that I cook that well.
Well, we ought to be the judges of that. So maybe when you come over to the States, maybe you could ship us something.
Speaking of shipping something, we're going to send you a T-shirt. Our first international T-shirt.
Yeah, this is not just some T-shirt. This is a very very special T-shirt from Heads in the Cloud. David and I wear them all the time, and one of the things that we ask our people that join the podcast to do is to send us a photograph wearing your Heads in the Cloud T-shirt. So we really appreciate you taking the time to come and join us. David's got another question. One thing we always like to
do you have any pets? We always like to know if you have a dog or a cat or a parakeet. We had a guest on the other day. What did he have? A chinchilla.
Chinchilla. Well, he didn't have it anymore, but he had it a while.
I don't even know what a chinchilla is. But go ahead. Do you have anything?
No, I've got 2 kids. We had a dog. We had a dog, a Labrador, and that was like our first kid.
Yeah, I know.
He died 8 years ago, and we will probably have another one at some point in time. And if we'll have something, it will still be a dog, and it will still be a lab.
Yeah, they're wonderful. I had a chocolate Labrador for years when I first moved to Chicago, and we brought him to Florida. But they're a lot of fun.
My favorite dogs.
A lot of fun.
Labradors.
I know you love dogs. So. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So, Sahi, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, we really appreciate
you taking
the time. This
has been a great conversation, and thanks for taking the time out of your day. I know it's late at night there in Israel, so don't stay up too late eating cheesecake. And we'll talk to you again soon. Good luck in San Francisco in a couple of weeks, too. So,
yeah, I hope that goes well. Yeah. We'll be watching out for that. So
thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
We just had a really good conversation with Sahi.
A very clear conversation.
Levant Levi, who is the founder and of Test RTC. What an interesting guy. I mean, just an incredible
web
background.
RTC. RTC,
oh, yeah. Test RTC. No, his website is Test RTC.
Website? Yeah, I'm sorry.
Test RTC.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're sitting, so not standing. That's right. But no, it was a great conversation. And Graham and I were just remarking about how great the audio was coming from
Israel,
you know, basically from Israel through Gmail, dialing an American did using WebRTC.
That's the experience right there.
Yeah,
what incredible! And using his headset. I think he made comment about the fact he doesn't like using the phone. He's using his PC or his Mac and what have you. But a fascinating gentleman, lots of great insight. Wonderful journey from when he started into this
kind of like
this
fell
space.
Into this space.
Yeah,
huh?
yeah. And he's also an avid chef. He likes cooking cheesecake.
But
so,
you know what? You could have said to me 1,000 things.
You would have said,
okay, he's interested in cooking. He lives in Israel.
What does he cook? Yeah,
cheesecake would have been so far down on my list.
And chocolate cheesecake. You nailed it in one.
You know, but the thing is, I don't even like cheesecake. Not my thing.
I could eat like a strawberry or I'm not into the chocolate stuff or whatever you say.
Cheesecake Factory too many things on the menu, right? But if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, Cheesecake Factory, we'd love to have you.
We'll take the cheesecake.
I'll have the mediocre food. I'll eat it. Don't worry, don't.
Yeah, you might need a different size heads in the cloud t-shirt if you start doing that.
Got to go up to the next size.
So, and the other thing is he's a dog lover as well.
Yeah, of course. Seems to be a familiar theme.
It is a theme with this. But,
he's going to be out in San Francisco Friday the 27th at Cranky Geek, which is what an incredible show. I mean, basically,
you see the list of names. Have you been on the website and gone through the names of Facebook, Google speakers?
I think Slack. And just the fact that he sort of came up with that on a whim and said, look, you know, I'd love to go out to the Google I.O., but, you know, I want to do something there and sort of come up with this and have the right contact. So it's clearly someone who's probably the foremost expert in this space. And it's really cool to see these applications. You know, it's become so ubiquitous now. You don't even know you're using it, but it's so much. You know, it's so much better for the customer.
Yeah, the customer experience. We talked about a lot of use cases where certainly in the medical world as well, where this sort of technology lends itself to be used. And we talked a little bit about our own experience as a company where we're using that in soft phone devices.
So much better than anything flash based.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah. I mean, it's just. Great hearing. He obviously has a serious passion for the work that he's
zest,
involved in.
I would say.
Real zest. Yeah, zest.
Even maybe a zeal.
Come up with these wonderful terms, though.
So it's cool to see the applications. I mean, I would never have thought that Facebook Messenger was using WebRTC for its chat, you know, for its chat and its video conference. I mean, that, you know, just in its video calling and stuff like that. I mean, just little things like that that you don't see, that you don't even think about that are being used in the practical space right now, and that have made communication so much easier.
Yeah, different world for us today. I think back to the clunkety click days when things were so manual and or mechanical, electromechanical, to where we are today, and we're now communicating over a browser without the need.
We were just having
to,
a Facebook Messenger conversation this weekend where you were sending all sorts of
websites
for crazy sports. Yeah.
So that's another theme that we probably will broaden into in Heads in the Cloud. We do like to find out whether our guests are animal lovers, you know, they're particular pets. But the other thing is, and I think what kicked this off the other week was talking about Sarasota hosting the 2017 World Championship Rowing. But, you know, we kind of digressed a little bit into some really rare sports and events that go on in the UK. And as you know, we're all a little eccentric over there. And we do strange things. Conkers is a good one. So
Conkers?
I'll have you look that one up.
What is it? How do you spell that?
Conkers, C-O-N-K-E-R-S.
Conkers.
So, yeah, so basically...
For our American friends.
Yeah, so you basically stand around with a horse chestnut.
You're going to have to... Like, what the hell
is
that?
Well, it's a conker tree, right? And we would know them as kids as conker
trees. So this is something... Okay.
These things
drop. We got to translate this for people who...
Okay.
So a nut comes out of a tree? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
okay.
Call it like a nut. It's like a walnut.
A horse chestnut.
Like a walnut size...
sounds like something.
Thing that drops down from a tree and you drill a hole in it.
Yeah.
And as kids, we used to skewer them and put a metal skewer through them.
And you eat them
and you
raw.
Tie a piece of string on it. No. And then you put a knot at the bottom end and you each take it in turns. One has to hold it and the second person has to slam his conker against the one that you're holding, and the one that has the conker that stays on the string and keeps going at the end of the day is the winner. Well, obviously your knuckles get bruised and
the conker that is still standing
is the champion conker. And we do all sorts of, you soak them in vinegar, you bake them in the oven, you do all kinds
freeze
of crazy
them.
Stuff.
Freeze them. If you froze
people,
them.
People, I got to tell the listeners here, people are looking at me like I'm completely crazy. So go on YouTube and have a look.
Conker.
And conkers.
And do you know the current world conker?
I don't know the world champion at the present time, but there is a world champion. I don't know as you participate. Anyway, we digress.
I think if you froze the little nut, it would make it even crazier.
Quite possibly. So there's another theme that we're gonna think about.
If you have any fun sports that you let us know.
Yeah,
email us at some email address that I'm not familiar with off the top of my head.
Yeah.
probably like connect at headsinthecloudpod.com. I'm being told by my producer Frederick von Weiss.
Okay.
Connect at headsinthecloudpod.com. Okay. I should know that. I really should. Yeah, that's bad. So, anyways, this has been a great episode. Yeah.
So this is Graham Potter.
And this is David Portnowitz for
Heads in the Cloud.